Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. Coming up here in about a half hour, Dale Jackson from WVNN Yellowhammer News. So stay tuned for that. And then Dick Brubaker, a good friend, former state senator, fan favorite here, will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour. Catch up on the news. There's some Supreme Court decisions that have been handed down. They kind of split it here. The Supreme Court denied by a 5-4 ruling that Donald Trump could not fire Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook. A majority was Roberts, Kavanaugh, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson. So there you have it. And then, but they did rule on Trump's side on the FTC commissioner, saying she could be fired. I guess it's different aspects of federal law there. And they did things when they created the Federal Reserve to give it some independence away from the executive branch. So it's just a strict interpretation of the law. The other aspect of this is the Supreme Court said that mail-in ballots received after Election Day could be counted in election tallies. So the state of Mississippi has a grace period. It was challenged on constitutional grounds. And the mail-iners said, you know, you have to give us a chance here to get these in. And I'm assuming they are postmarked on Election Day. They're good to go. I'm not a fan of mail-in voting, but that's the law of the land and has to be respected. 251-343-0106. Also, here in Alabama, lower court is going to determine if the courts will hear a ballot challenge to Tommy Tuberville, the Republican nominee for governor and a prohibitive favorite to be governor against Doug Jones in November. Whether this proceeds, and then it gets interesting. And like I said, I was listening to Joyce Vance talk to the Barry Ragsdale, who's filed the suit against Tuberville, or filed the suit against, I don't know who, state of Alabama, I guess. I don't know. And it sounds like he's just giddy with the prospects of getting to take Tommy Tuberville's deposition. So this is like an under oath oppo research opportunity for Democrats. So the system is being abused here, I think. It's one thing to say, okay, we don't think that he is a resident citizen, so we're going to challenge it in court. Really believing that. Or, well, there's enough doubt here that we could get him under oath and ask him some hard questions. And that's what I think is going on here. And there's just some in the media who won't let this go. But, you know, what boxes does Coach need to check to satisfy these people? And I'm going to tell you a secret. There's never going to be any, because they're always going to fight this. We've had this discussion. Is he a U.S. senator, and is he going home, and home is Florida? Is he going to his beach house? Well, does that still mean that his home isn't Alabama? Look, I mean, here's the thing. You may not like it, or you may not care, and apparently enough people don't care because they voted for him, that he spends time at his beach house. Now, I my preference would have been that he would have gotten a beach house in Alabama. But nonetheless, can you spend time away from more time away from home at a extravagant beach dwelling? Does that mean that you're no longer, do you lose your resident citizenship of Alabama? And I don't think that's the case. Like I said, you may not like it, but that's how this lines up. And like I said, you can't beat him, so you take him to court. Well, it comes off as petty. Same is true with John Wall. But that kind of crumbled under its own weight over the weekend. On Sunday, the Alabama Republican Party Steering Committee ruled 14-4. Or they didn't rule. I guess they decided by a 14-4 margin that they were going to entertain a ballot challenge on John Wall. Elections have consequences. Okay? Don't like the outcome. Do better. Went into war of ideas. Went into the arena of ideas. With this petty lawfare stuff, it's a distraction. 251-343-0106. We keep rolling with these texts here. Ultra Runner asked a great question. Why is Alabama so tribal? I think a lot of different things. I'd start with media markets. The way the state is, because the lines tend to fall where the media market lines fall, where people watch their local news. Now, some of it's economic. But, you know, having grown up in this state and the perception about what's going on in South Alabama might as well be a news report about what's going on in Mexico. There's a lot of states like this. North Carolina is a great example. From Murphy to Manteo. These big states, they just are very expansive states. Texas. But people get siloed in their media market, or people get siloed in their locality, and they tend to, you know, come to the same conclusions about issues, about projects, about issues. There's states that go the other direction. But where the state isn't like, you know, it's not like there's a lot of people who are driving from Selma to Anniston on a regular basis. They might as well be separate states. Or Mobile to, you know, Phoenix City or whatever. Mobile to Dothan. And they put us in the same congressional district. But you could generally delineate the economic interest, the culture, and it gets siloed off, and that creates this tribalistic sort of system. And it is hard to understand, Ultra Runner, because it never made sense to me. It took me 20 years to figure it out. Then you finally see it in Montgomery and the way all these people from the different parts of the state interact with one another. Because in some places, like-minded people, so conservatives or liberals or moderates or, you know, that's their peer group. The ones who all kind of, you know, are of the same ideology. You see a lot of that in Washington, D.C. In Alabama, that's not as true now that the BP oil spill settlement's kind of come and gone, but it used to be. It was like I would go to social events in Montgomery, and it would be like a middle school dance where the boys are on one side of the room and the girls are on the other side of the room. And the South Alabama guys, they all stayed in the same hotels near one another. The North Alabama guys, they all stayed at the RV park. They all kind of congregated with one another. That's changed. But it's still kind of true, but they would interact with one another. Keep rolling here. Tim, Jeff, so what is Orange Beach going to do with Tony Kennett? You see, like, he can't stay out of the news. You got to wonder why he has to walk around without clothes on. There's something missing upstairs. I don't know what's going on there. I feel like we have some assumptions that might be accurate, but here's the thing. Jeff Boyd gave it his best shot. I don't live in Orange Beach. I don't understand, but there is a fidelity to Tony Kennan. It's undeniable. There's a loyalty there. They look at where Orange Beach was before he came in. They look at it. People kind of look at the results there. But he's not staying in trouble, but he's always been this way. You know, Tim, like, he's always been in the media spotlight. Now, some of it is of his own doing. Some of it he probably brings on himself. But I will say this. There's a very tangible media thing there. Obsession at times with Tony Kennan, which feels it. So you'll see a bunch of stories about Orange Beach. And then in our own backyard in Pritchard, they're running a crime syndicate out of the police station. A literal crime syndicate, at least it's alleged by federal authorities. So I'm not saying that, you know, that it's all on the up and up there, but I think that there is an undue amount of attention and focus because they just don't like him a lot of times. Continuing on here, old guy is tied for a government worker tax. This just in from Mr. Doug. The city is swapping gay banners for 4th of July ones. Well, that's good news. Pride Month, we got to survive the next 2 days. We'll do this again next year in June. We'll forget about it. And then on June 1st, like, whoa, where did these come from? But it's, like I said, they're taking my problem with this and this Visit Mobile. They're taking money that needs to be used to promote the city and tourism, and they're co-opting it to virtue signal what they see as virtuous, not what you and I and most people in the city would see as virtuous. But they're taking your tax dollars. I don't live in Mobile. They're taking your dollars and they're applying it in this way to promote the city. And anyway, you have to look, well, okay, is this really translating to dollars and cents? Is this really a tourist destination for Pride Month? And why is it only a tourist destination in June? Why is it a tourist LGBTQ tourist destination year-round? Because it's not. It's not a year-round tourist destination. But we decided that we're going to show you, and we're going to show you, despite your cultural values, your wisdom, whatever you want to apply here, and we're going to do it because you don't know what's good for you. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the
time. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Jim from Sims writes, can we put up Confederate flags on Confederate Memorial Day? I think you can. I think then they would change the law immediately. But it's a loophole left over in the law or the regulations or whatever the governing is to determine what kind of banners you can fly in the city. And I suspect that'll change. It's sort of like the cannon. Remember that dust up when they rainbow colored it? We're going to find that this isn't like a fight the city really wants to deal with. Unnamed texter, the city guys changed about 2 weeks ago. As soon as they got swapped, they were told to put up pride banners back up. Really? Who told who? Mr. Valentine, nice when rainbow flags come out down on the city lamppost. Who in the city put them up? These are the questions we ask. Not getting a lot of answers, but we asked. Squirrelverine, right? Soon we will see a Mobile hockey team forced to wear pride decorations during June. I tell you what, and I was just kind of appalled. I guess all these major league ballparks are doing the obligatory nod to Pride Month, except for the Texas Rangers. But one organization, the Baltimore or Orioles, they rolled out the red carpet here. It was like furry night or something on Friday night. It's just sexual deviancy. Disappointing. So I like the Orioles. I love Camden Yards. But the wokeism is really infiltrated. A lot of professional sports. And I don't know who's asking for it. Do they see this as something that's really going to draw in more fans? You know, baseball is for everyone. Just don't read Aubrey Huff's Twitter feed, whatever you do. Former San Francisco Giant, if you're wondering who that is. There's a dust up in San Francisco. The Giants, who took 2 or 3 from the Braves over the weekend. Your relief pitchers on Pride Night writing Bible verses on their hat, on their rainbow fly-colored hat. And in Major League Baseball, issuing this rebuke and then having to recant it when Josh Hawley, of all people, started questioning them, sent them, a formal questionnaire. And the commissioner of baseball rolled it back. Derek, literally celebrating. Oh, I can't read that. The SPHL doesn't play in June. The only hockey played in June would be the Stanley Cup in the first couple of weeks. Most major teams have gay rights night during the year, and places like Edmonton and Calgary are particularly disgusting. Really? I like Edmonton, the Oilers. I would have thought more like the Toronto Maple Leafs or Montreal or Ottawa. You'd see more of that in the NHL. It's a good point. They're like the Mobile Mystics. Well, that's our lone sports franchise. Now, hopefully get baseball back, but that may be some time. 251-343-0106. Going to be in touch with the show. Circling back on some news here. Supreme Court putting out some rulings today that Lisa Cook cannot be fired by the president, but the FTC commissioner can't. And mail-in voting. Legal. There is a grace period that is legal in the eyes of the Supreme Court. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I'm I'm Junior MacArthur and I told my old man. By way of a bullet and a Vietnam. Left behind my woman and my boy named John.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Joining us now, you hear him every Monday on this show, Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville, also at Yellowhammer News. Dale, good morning. How are you?
I could not be any better. Great weekend. The World Cup's been interesting. If you love America or soccer, either one, choose which one you want. But it's been pretty good.
How about furries at baseball games?
Well, I mean, I don't know how you spent your weekend, but I was watching the World Cup. So, I mean, you do, Jeff.
I saw this on your social media, actually, and I'm still rattled by it. The Baltimore Orioles go all out on Pride Night. It's not like just like kind of a passing fancy, okay, we got to do it. Let's check the box. They really roll out the red carpet.
Yeah, and look, I mean, every community is responsible for policing itself. That's not to say you're responsible for everything that happens in your community. You know, if I go to a tea party and someone's pulling around a monkey on a chain, that's not my fault, but that happened. And I said to that person, get the hell out of here right now. And I just don't think we got a lot of that going on right now. There's not a lot of self-policing happening. And I think that there's a little bit too much of like, that's not me, that's not my problem.
Well, there's too much of like, I don't think like, maybe we just don't fully grasp what we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think the issue is this. If I took my kid to that game, I'm pissed.
I agree.
And I'm pissed to the point where the Orioles are hearing about it. I mean, and what that matters to them, probably not much, but I am absolutely voicing that opinion. And look, we've seen this kind of stuff. The San Francisco Giants are in the middle of a little controversy over this too. And they've handled it about as bad as they can because they've tried to kind of walk like this middle line where they don't want to, you know, destroy their players and they don't want to apologize for it because they didn't do anything wrong. So everyone hates them. And it's just, it's a no-win situation. The best way to stay away from these things is not do them.
I mean, that's San Francisco, right? I mean, not that it's, they get a pass on any of this, but it's San Francisco. And it's still not furry night or whatever the hell that was in Baltimore. You're already taking a risk going to Camden Yards. And this adds kind of just an added wrinkle to it. And
oh, yeah. Look, here's the thing about that. They also had a drag queen at the children's section of the park. And I assume like any ballpark I've been to recently has like a little play area for kids because nobody wants to actually watch the game. And they had a drag queen, Heidi, in the closet or something. There in the children's section of the park, their attendance was down on average from where it normally is on a Friday night. I mean, who is this for? I mean, I'm sorry. Look, I don't know that many gay people, but you know how many gay people I know who like baseball? The answer is zero. And the situation here is that this is pandering for absolutely no reason at the expense of your base audience that just wants to go to the ballpark with their family and watch a ball game. I mean, that's it. I mean, you go to a lot of games. I see you on social media. You're everywhere. So I can't imagine you'd be too thrilled by any of this. And you're not going to Pride Day if you know what's happening when right. You buy your tickets.
No, not at all. And then, they do it in the middle of the week. And that's this was like a Friday night. Like, this is like overtly just trying to rub your nose in it, I feel like.
Yep, and I always reference this, but there's got to be somebody in a room somewhere when these decisions are getting made that stands up and goes, guys, what are we doing?
We got our own little issue here in Mobile. I mean, they've gone all out on the tourism on the banners, department. Right? Well, the tour, Visit Mobile, and they decided they're going to market Mobile as a Pride Month destination, and I don't believe you. I don't believe there is, and I know they spend LGBTQ or whatever you want to call them, spend money probably at a higher rate on tourism than the average person, but I just don't believe Mobile's on their destination list.
Yeah, I don't get that either. It looks like it's just a bunch of people who are looking for something, some way to figure it out.
They're using lodging tax dollars.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's even worse.
They're using lodging tax dollars meant to promote the city to virtue signal. That's exactly what they're doing here.
Oh, that's even worse. That's even worse. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, that's even worse, man.
Yeah, because this is propped up by lodging tax dollars, and there's a big push. If you go to the Visit Mobile site, if it's still up for the Pride Month, I mean, it's just
covered. Don't you guys have money to waste on a stupid train?
I guess we had a little left over.
Okay, well, good. Well, I understand that the record ridership down there, and you guys are only losing, you know, a little bit of money on each ride as opposed to a lot. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, the people who are looking for something to do on their vacation are like, you know what I want to do? I want to take the choo-choo train to Mobile, Alabama. what are you going to go see? Where the Raphael Sim statue used to be?
No, we're going to go see all the gay pride banners downtown.
Yeah, and it's a new era in Mobile, I guess. The big gay bar here is not even open. They lost their liquor license.
Do you know the city of Huntsville does not have a single gay bar?
I find that hard to believe. Come on.
Well, things have changed since you've been here then, Jeff. Maybe you used to hang out at one. But what I know is this. I think there's a pretty prime market. I got a business opportunity for you. Me and you open up a bar called The Gaze of Hormuz. What do you think?
No, Dill.
Okay. Just saying. You're
just testing this out for your show, aren't you?
I've been using that one for a while, yes. The Strait of Hormuz is open. The Gaze of Hormuz is still closed. So there we go. That's the joke.
That's lovely. Hey, another thing, guess what? We don't have to keep Haitians here
Who's going to wipe our asses, Jeff? That's the main concern. Americans don't want to do these jobs, which actually means Americans don't want to do these jobs for quasi-slave labor. But, you know, they don't want to talk about that. And they're like, well, how come there aren't enough nurses? And it's like, well, it's because you devalued the entire profession. So why are you asking these questions? And everyone knows the answers, but they're uncomfortable answers. We wrecked a job market in certain sectors by bringing in unskilled labor. And we said, here, do these unskilled jobs. And we took unskilled workers and put them out of work and then taught them to live on government assistance. That's what we've done. That's been the life in which we live right now. And it really seems like now they're saying, well, this is why you can't get rid of them. You know what my response to that is? Let the chips fall where they may.
We'll just enforce the law. You know, yep. The law's the law. And the courts ruled. Sunday shows yesterday, it was all like, I don't know, like a John Kasich or Mike DeWine.
Bill Kristol.
This Ohio like pseudo-Republican guy is saying, you know, they're not really bothering anybody. They're not really eating cats and dogs. We'll just let them stay. I'm against any kind of deportation effort.
My favorite thing about this entire thing is the argument over and over and over again that they're not eating the cats and they're not eating the dogs. And I'm like, guys, if you want to fight the argument that that's the only issue that people are concerned about, then that's fine. But that's not the only issue. That was just the meme. The other issues still exist, even though they're not actively eating cats and dogs in the streets and stuff like that. So,
well, no,
eating cats and dogs is not a good argument.
It's temporary status, temporary. And you had some lawfare being waged here. They could have just let the Trump administration deport these people and then kind of ask them to come back or still had the policy, but now they're not going to have the policy anymore. This is the problem with the lawfare, because ultimately it's going to be adjudicated by the high court, and then that will be the law of the land, and you take another tool away from yourself there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, they had their opportunity to use America as the place that is open for refugees and stuff like that. And you know what we did? We abused it. That's what we did. And now that opportunity is being taken away from you in some ways. And look, I was told Haiti's great. I was assured by this. When Trump referred to it as an asshole, I was told it was fantastic. It was wonderful. Are they suggesting that it's not great safe now, but no. It was before? Or are we going to admit that we were lying all along? And if we're going to admit that we were lying all along, I need you to admit that and then beg me to forgive you for lying.
Yeah, you can't, like, do Port-au-Prince Tourism Bureau and then say it's unsafe to go back to, right?
Yep. And I forget who said it on television today, but they said, no, you're missing the point. It's not safe for Americans. The Haitians can live there. They've got to fix their country, just like we have to fix our country. But it's not safe for Americans to go there because Americans who go there are going to be kidnapped and held hostage and robbed and all these other things. But it doesn't change the fact that these people have to go out and do everything they can to fix their own country. And it's not like we haven't been willing to help them try to do that.
How many times have we tried?
Yeah. Yeah, well, my point is we tried our best to do that, and we're willing to try to do that again. We're not saying we're just throwing them to the wolves and we're not willing to help them. But that doesn't mean we take everyone out of your country and bring it here. I'm sorry. That's just not it. And I apologize that you think America is supposed to be the part of the world that fixes everybody's problem. And speaking of Syrians, by the way, you're telling me the best place for those refugees is on the other side of the planet?
Well, I mean, that's where they're supposed to go, right?
Well, I mean, no. What I'm saying, no. You're missing my point. They have an issue in Syria, and the solution is to send their refugees onto the other side of the planet to here.
Oh, here. I thought you were talking about sending the refugees that are here back to the other side of the planet.
No, they need to go back. My point is, there's no reason to bring a bunch of people to the other side of the planet. Because here's what we also know. We knew damn well they were never going back. The second we get here, we know damn well they're never coming back. They're never going back. Why would you? Have you not seen the World Cup guys? The World Cup guys come here to visit for the World Cup, and they're like, this place is awesome. I go to the grocery store, and in my world, there's three kinds of rice. In America's, there's 30. And extrapolate that on every possible way to look at the world. They're not going to go back to that. They don't even have AC in the UK. Well, how do you think Syria is? You're never coming back. You're never going back. Would you go back?
No. And I always hear these leftists talk about leaving the United States, and I just kind of laugh at that. We're joined by Del Jackson.
See, in the UK, the people who say they're going to leave and go to Europe and stuff, in the UK, they are running around telling people they have to turn off their AC inside their house.
Right.
I mean, it's completely, I was having this, my son's 8 years old, but we were talking about something, and we just got done at his Nana's, and we were both sweaty and hot. And I was like, in the UK, they get mad at you if you're on your AC in the car and they don't have AC at home. And he's like, well, what do they do? Do they not have ways to get cold, cool? And I'm like, no, they don't. And he's like, that sounds terrible. And I'm like, you know what? It does.
Joined by Del Jackson, WVNN, here on the program. We'll wrap it up here. The elections in New York on Tuesday, and I spent a lot of time on this. I think these are the first shots. This is the Fort Sumter of the Democrat Civil War, that they are going to have to fight this out in the presidential primary as soon as this new Congress is sworn in.
I hope they have the fight out in the streets. I mean, for me, take it out in the streets. Let's get a blue faction. The days of like brighter blue faction.
The days of like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer or Hakeem Jeffries or whoever just willing whatever they want to happen, gone. Mm-hmm. If Democrats win in November, they will have a small majority, and they're going to need every vote they can. Do they think that these socialists that they opposed are going to go along with whatever they want? It's going to look a lot like it did when Republicans won it a couple of years ago.
Okay, so this is my thought on this. We kind of heard this all or nothing, and the media played it up, I think, the Tea Party stuff, where the Tea Party was not going to play nice, not going to do any things. The Tea Party always played nice. The only time when they almost didn't play nice, Mike Rogers tried to put Matt Gaetz down physically. So, but they eventually came around. They never had any of these real issues. And I think for the sake of the movement, they will come on board and vote for more of a moderate member of the Democratic leadership in order to get what they want. And then they'll have to pander to them and play to them. But I think they will come along and give them their vote eventually. And then they'll just try to get him in the next election. I mean, that's how that'll play.
I mean, maybe, but these guys will want committee assignments, or they're going to, I mean, because here's what happened with the three socialists in New York City. Hakeem Jeffries opposed all three of them. And now he's going to need their vote to be speaker. What's he, you know, how's he going to swing that? And I think they got to make some real concessions, or it's going to look like it did for Republicans in 2022.
Correct. And I'll tell you this, the movement is, I think, shifting towards Republicans right now. And I honestly believe this sounds stupid, but I think this is true. I think the America 250 stuff, I think the World Cup stuff, I think Democrats going crazy on stuff. They're still pushing their transgender stuff when they said they were going to try to stop it. You know, they're still doing all the crazy things they're doing. They got James Tallarico running around, people in Texas saying, we're all trans, we're all vegans, we're all these things. You got Mein Kampf up there doing his thing. You got all these Roy Moore-esque figures, and it's not the same time period again. Free speech is free again on social media, and people are learning more about these candidates every day nationally and who they are. I think Democrats are in big trouble. I think they're in big trouble, and I think it's going to be a little different than we've seen before. I think the midterms, Republicans are in a pretty good position right now.
Oh, yeah, and I was looking last night. So the prediction markets still favor Democrats, like Gaussian and whatnot, Polymarket, but like the big like prognostication sites like Cook Political Report or Larry Sabato still leaning Republicans based on redistricting. So it's not as maybe as doom and gloom on second glance as I thought.
Well, think about the Cauchy stuff is this. One, it's fake. Let's make sure we understand that. The whole thing is fake. Two, the other side of it is also that it goes from the aggregate from the very beginning. So what has been bet in the last month?
It's just probably been bet Republican.
Right, yeah. Right. So, but all the other stuff, money's already been put down, has been bet.
Yeah, it's Democrat. Been bet on Democrat, and this was before the Louisiana case was ruled upon.
Correct. So, yeah. So I think that's worth it. Again, I'm not saying Republicans are going to buck the international trend or the historical trends, but if you were to make the argument, that would be the argument I would make.
Dale, folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
At the Dale Jackson anywhere on social media, yellowhammernews.com as well. I'm right there always for you.
Dale Jackson, for better or for worse. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Chops and can of cheer painted on the side. Just shot a coat of primer and looked inside.
All right, let's take it on down to Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Birmingham. Ooh, Montgomery. Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Dick Brubaker coming up in the third hour, so please make sure you stay tuned for that. Let's see here. Text line. Do we have anything else? No, we got a bunch. Mr. Valentine, attendance will drop rapidly. Watch and see. Didn't learn the lesson last time. I must be a great eye salesman. Talking about nobody being there. Won't matter. Hockey team wears. Nobody will be there, just like baseball, but much worse. I mean, I maybe it's location. The Hank Aaron Park, they tried to have it both ways. They tried to stay within the orbit of downtown and stay within the orbit of West Mobile. And I think location has a lot to do with the failure of baseball and Mobile and just people just not interested. The Bay Bears. But you look at the park in Huntsville and Madison, it's a growing area. It was a business decision. I don't know what the answer is, why sports won't take off here. But you got to kind of gimmick it up. Will you go to two or three a year, maybe, Blue Wahoos and Biloxi Shuckers games. And they always have like it's a decent crowd. It's kind of an interesting atmosphere. It's just something that, and that's missing from that. Same is true with Montgomery and their struggling minor league baseball efforts. Maybe people just, it becomes old hat. You just don't partake in it. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Getting crazy. I'm getting hammered. Sitting right here at the Florabama.